Okay. I want to get my subject there from verse 15. Bespeaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, Christ. You know, I've been preaching a long time. And I've got boxes and boxes full of outlines back there. But one thing that always concerns me is how I preach. You know, I don't want to be mean, don't want to be harsh, don't want to be critical. And I'm concerned about how I speak the truth. You know, and preaching is communicating. It's communicating by words. We communicate. And when I'm preaching, I hope I'm communicating with you. And we communicate back and forth with one another. And that's what you hope that's being made. And when our Lord Jesus Christ was the Word that was made flesh, by that Word God communicated with the world, with His elect. And He still communicates with us by His Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way God can be made known is through the Word, the living Word, and the written Word. So the Apostle tells us here to speak the truth in love. And what he means for us is to hold the truth, maintain the truth, live the truth, living the truth, and speaking the truth. But his emphasis here is in love. His emphasis is in love. That's why he told Titus, he said, adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Make it look wonderful. Dress it up. You ladies, and we all like to, you know, we adorn ourselves. He said, well, you do that with the doctrine of Christ. You do that with the doctrine of the gospel. Do that with the grace of God. Adorn it. When people see you, that they understand there's something different. There's something different about you. Now, we don't want to hold or speak the truth or dispense the truth in a deceitful way. No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to use the word in anger. Use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. Find something that somebody we don't like or somebody that said something that's offended us or something. And then use the pulpit as a cloak for us to get even with them or to tell them off or to deal with them. I learned years and years ago that you can't preach to people who are not here. So don't be preaching to people who are not here because they're not going to hear you. And you know where there's doctrinal orthodoxy, and there's plenty of that around. Plenty of that around. Doctrinal orthodoxy without love is just cold and it's lifeless like a dead body. And he's holding us here, the apostle is, that sound teaching should be held in, handled in, and lived in a loving, gracious spirit. And his reason is in that verse that we just speaking the truth in love. The reason being that we may grow up into him. We all know what it's like to grow up. But he's not just talking about growing up. He's talking about growing up in all things, which is the head, which is Christ. Growing up in Christ. Maturing in Christ. Growing up into him. He's the head. And we know you can't have a body and function without a head. And so he's telling us how this body functions is through the head and speaking the truth that we all may grow up into him, become full age in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we may grow up into him in love, faith, knowledge, patience, gentleness, goodness, meekness, perseverance, and grow up into the head, which is Christ. That means give him all the glory and grow up. You know, that's what we want to do. We don't want to just grow up. We want to grow up in Christ. We want to grow up and mature in Christ. And I pray the Holy Spirit will help me to show us in these scriptures why we speak the truth in love. Let's start here in verse 1, go down through these verses, and why we speak the truth in love. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now he's in jail, he's in prison, he's in a Roman prison. But he says, I'm not the prisoner of Rome, I'm the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And that word vocation means your profession. That word vocation means your profession. I beseech you, you walk worthy of your profession. You know, they call this tech now, but it used to be called vocational school. And people went there to get a vocation, you know, to get a job, to learn a trade. And that's what he's talking about here. Our profession is Christ. And you walk worthy of that profession. Walk worthy of that profession that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're one in Christ. We're one in Christ. And do it with all lowliness and meekness. With long suffering. Forbearing one another. And here's this word again. Love. You all been putting up with me and forbearing with me for many a year. And I'm thankful for it. You have to forbear with me. And then he says, not only that, but endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's easy for the unity of the Spirit to be destroyed. And so he said, endeavor to do it. So it's a labor. It's an endeavor. You know, when somebody says or does something, just keep your mouth shut. Pray for them. Give thanks for them. And endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you're peaceful, and you have peace, then you promote peace. And then look what he says. But here's why we speak the truth in love. Because we're all one in Christ. One in Christ. There's one body. One body. And that body is the body of Christ. He's the head of this body. And we maintain and hold and live and speak the truth in him to glorify our head and to magnify our head and to bring honor to our head. You know, it's from him we have. Look over here in Colossians. Philippians next and Colossians right after that. Look here in Colossians chapter 3. You know, Christ is our life. If we have one, there's only one body. Christ is the head of that body. So there's only one. There's not two or three bodies. One body. And look what he said here in verse 3. Colossians 3:3. Where you are dead, you're dead to sin, you're dead to the world, you're dead to your own self, and you understand that you died. How did you die? Why are you dead? Because you died with Christ. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Now the life we have is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, Christ is our life. Not the most important thing in our life. Not the most serious thing in our lives. But he is our life. There's no life apart from him. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then when he comes, we're going to appear with him. And when he goes to glory and appears in glory, we're going to appear in glory with him. Because he's our life. There's only one body. And Christ is our life. And then he says, not only is there one body, but back over here in our text, look what he says. And notice how this is capitalized. One Spirit. One Holy Spirit. One Spirit of God. And this is so easy to understand. I've mentioned this before. Everything here is one, one, one. It's hard to be mixed up and be confused when you're only dealing with one. Ain't that right? It's impossible to be confused. And now let me show you it's the Spirit that quickens us. Now look over in 1 Corinthians, if you will, in chapter 12 and verse 13. I want you to see a couple things over here. You know, one Spirit, one body, one Spirit. One Spirit called us. One Spirit quickened us. One Spirit brought us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. One Spirit taught us of Christ. One Spirit opened the Scriptures to our understanding. In fact, the Scriptures tells us that the Spirit helps our infirmities. And look what he says here in 1 Corinthians, first chapter 12 and verse 3. First of all, verse 3. He said, I want you to understand this, brethren. When God gives you a gift, I want you to understand this. I don't want you to be misstuck about this. that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. He cannot say anything wrong against Christ. And he goes on to say that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, that he's the same one as God in the Old Testament. Nobody can call Jesus the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Nobody will acknowledge that Christ is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. They don't have to put it on a sign. Don't have to put it on your bumper sticker. You don't have to tell anybody that Christ is Lord. And he's your Lord. Because nobody that knows Christ, if you know him, you know he's Lord. Preachers preach for years that you know you can be your Savior, but when are you going to make him Lord? You can't be saved without Christ being your Lord. That's the first thing you know and understand, that he's the Lord. You're bound to a Lord. You're bound to a King. You're bound to a Sovereign. Ain't we? Yeah. And I tell you, then look what he says down in verse 13. Now we're talking here again. One, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now what does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit put us in the body of Christ. We didn't get in the body of Christ by ourselves. We didn't put ourselves in the church. We didn't put ourselves in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit baptized us, immersed us, and put us into Christ. Whether we're a Jew or a Greek, whether we're a slave or a bondman or a free man, and listen to this, we've all been made to drink out of Christ, drink into one Spirit. And so I tell you what, and look back over here again. So this is why we speak the truth in love. Because we're one in Christ. One body, one spirit. Then look back over here again in Ephesians 4. And then he called us to one hope of our calling. He called us to the same hope of our calling. Our hope. All of our hopes the same. Every single person that's been saved by the grace of God have one hope. And you know, let me tell you something about hope. Hope always deals with the resurrection. Always deals with the future. And you have one hope. He called us to one hope. And what is that hope? That one of these days, because Christ justified us, Christ sanctified us, Christ gave us eternal life, Christ, we're going to have eternal glory. But we have a good hope that one of these days we're going to go and be with him. And how we got this good hope is through grace. And I tell you what, it's a hope that you know, he shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He gave us a hope. Now, faith and hope is two different things. Faith believes the promise, but hope looks for the future. And I've used this illustration before, and he called us to this hope. We didn't have a hope until Christ called us to a hope. But this is the way I often say it. Said, you know, father's off working a long way off. He calls and says, I'm going to be home on such and such a date. Well, son gets up and looks out the window and says, Daddy said he's coming home on such and such a time. Well, when it gets close to that time, he believes what his daddy says. We believe what our father says. But then all of a sudden, one day, on that day he's supposed to come back, he gets up at the window and sits on the back of the couch and looks out the window. What's he doing? He's hoping to see his daddy. Faith believed his dad's coming home, but he got his eyes open when daddy comes home. Oh, there he is! And that's what the hope we have. We're looking for that blessed hope to the glorious appearing of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the promise. And I tell you, God gave us a good hope. And I tell you, you know what else he said our hope is? It's our hope that anchors our soul. That anchors that soul. What would you give for your hope? What would you give for your faith? Has Bill Gates got enough money for it? Who's got enough money to buy your hope and buy your faith? You know why you can't let it go? God gave it to you. God gave it to you. And I'll tell you what a blessed hope, glorious hope it is. We're always hoping for Christ to come. We're always hoping that one of these days He's going to call us home. Yeah. We're always hoping that. And then look, I tell you, we speak the truth in love because there's one Lord. Look what He goes on and says in verse 5. One Lord. Just one. Sovereign. Immutable. We have one Master. One who orders all things for our good. And that's our Lord. One Lord. One Lord. There was an old man named Polycarp. He got converted under the Apostle John's ministry. And you know, back in those days when the Caesars ruled, and that Caesar was a title. And like the King or Queen of England, it's just a title. And Caesar put up a statue and said that, you know, that commanded him to call Caesar Lord. Old Polycarp said, oh, I can't do that. You're going to die. He said, well, I can't do that. He said, I've only got one Lord. I've only got one Master. And He's never, ever done me any wrong. Never done me any wrong. And then how in the world can I turn around and blaspheme Him who saved me? And needless to say, He died 86 years old and they killed Him. Oh my. Huh? As Christ, oh, one Lord, one Lord. Thank God that He is Lord. And then look what He says down here. And He says not only one Lord, but one faith. One faith. Now when He talks about the faith here, the faith He's talking about is not what we actually believe as say the 5 points of Calvinists or whatever. This is not a creed or a system of doctrine He's talking about, but our experience of faith. Faith that we've experienced. What do I mean by that? That we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one Lord and one faith that trusts in Christ. How can you tell your faith is real? Christ is the only object of it. Huh? Ain't that right? My words had nothing to do with it. If we don't look to anything we've said or done or experienced anywhere else, our experience is that we believe Christ. Our faith is that we trust Christ. We believe Christ. That's why the Scriptures tells us, I know whom I have believed. And everybody's quick to tell you what they believe, but oh my, from now on anybody asks you what you believe, say, I believe Him. Well, who's He? The Lord just told us, I believe Him. Don't go into a whole dissertation, you know, where man's depraved and limited talking. No, no. Just tell them, I know whom I have believed. I believe a person. I trust a person. A person died for me. Faith didn't die for me. Faith didn't save me. Faith never put away my sins. Christ did that. And God in His sovereign mercy opened my heart to believe Him and trust Him. I put all my eggs in one basket. There's nothing in this world, no one in this world to trust but Him. And that's what He's talking about. Our experience of faith. Then He says one baptism. There is one body, one Spirit, is called one hope of calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now this one baptism under the gospel, there's only one baptism, only one, and that's water. I know over there we're baptized, immersed into the body of Christ. That's the Spirit that done that. But there's only one Lord that we obey. Only one Lord we worship. And one baptism, that's by water. And every believer, one who believes and experience that unites them to faith by the Lord Jesus Christ, you know how they always in the New Testament confess their faith? Baptism. Water baptism. That's, you know, it's the only ordinance that what people confess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by coming to water. and confessing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by baptism. And I know folks, I believe they've been converted. I believe God done something for them. But there's people that's so bashful and so backward and so that they found it difficult to come forth and that, you know, I don't ask for anybody to give up and give a testimony. We don't do that. But if you want to give a testimony that you've trusted Christ, that you believe Christ, that Christ is your Lord, just come to me and say, "Preacher, fill up the baptistry. Fill up the baptistry. Fill it up. I want to confess faith in the Lord. I want to confess that Christ is my Savior, my Lord, my God. I believe you put my sin away. I believe what you've been preaching for a long time. I finally heard it. I finally understand it. And I want to confess my faith in Christ. I want to confess my faith. I want to confess my faith." And then I tell you what, this one baptism, I can't stress this enough. You know that I had a false profession for years. I really did. I know it. I didn't know it was false till God taught me the gospel. God revealed Christ to me. What'd you do? I got baptized. The baptism I had before that was not real. Couldn't possibly be real. So what do? You confess Christ the only way the Scriptures tells us to. Scott Richardson, we went down here to Law Creek one time, down here in the meeting. He buried me. Why'd he bury me? Because I was dead. Dead to sin. Raised me up to newness of life. Where at? In Christ. Ain't that right? So I tell you, if God blesses you and feel like God's done something for you, come and you tell me that. And then look what he said down here in verse 6. There's one God and Father of all. One true living God. He's the source of all of our spiritual unity. He's the source of us becoming believers. He is the source from which the Lord Jesus Christ came. He's the Father of all. He's the Father of all believers. All believers. I want you to look with me over here in 1 Corinthians 8. I want you to see something over here. Let's look at this together. 1 Corinthians 8. Let's learn something here, if we can. You know, He's the Father of all. Now, He's not the Father of the whole human race. That's a fact. No. He's Father of Jew or Gentile, male or female. He's the Father of all believers. All of God's elect. All for whom Christ died. He's the Father of all. He's the one begat us with the word of truth. And look what he says here in verse 5. 1 Corinthians 8, 5. "For though there be that are called gods," see how that's small, "whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us, one God." To us. Who's us? Us. Us. How many us's are in here? Us. Us. One God. "The Father, of whom are all things. And we are in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. And we by Him. We believe by Him. We're saved by Him." And so He's the Father of all. Everybody's got gods. Oh, there's all kinds of gods. They're everywhere. But our Lord Jesus Christ and God, He's above all. God's above all. And He's in all. He's in all His people. And He controls and sustains all things. And then God indwells us by the Holy Spirit. And then look what he says down here in verse 4. Verse 7. But unto every one of us, there's us again, unto every one of us is given grace. Oh my. Every one of us that has the one Father, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism. Unto us, grace is given. You know, grace is a gift. Yeah. We don't merit it. We never earned it. We certainly didn't deserve it. People say all the time, how you doing? Well, I'm getting better. I'm better than I deserve. But listen, there's not been a day that you ever drawed a breath that God didn't give you something more than you deserved. In fact, you never deserved anything. None of us ever deserved nothing. If we got what we deserved, what would happen? What would happen to us if we got what we deserved? Huh? But grace is given. Oh my. And then look what it says here. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wonder how big his measure is. Huh? Oh my, given. How much grace does he give you? All you need. All you need. And it's given by a measure of Christ. How do you suppose our Lord's measure is? You know, everybody, all the women here got a measuring cups. Spoons, cups, quarter cups, half. You know, you got all these measuring things. But listen, Christ measures the grace that he gives us. And how big you reckon his measure is? Huh? Oh, he gives us his measure. And oh, how big you suppose it is. Now, how does he give us these gifts? And it's called, he gives us grace. Everything given to us is given to us according to Christ. And then he goes on to say, and this is a parenthesis, wherefore he saith, and he gets this out of the 68th Psalm. When Christ ascended up on high, when he went to the cross and went back to glory, he led captivity captive. Everything that held us captive, sin, death, hell, flesh, everything that held us in captivity, law, justice, truth, righteousness, everything that held us captive, Christ ascended on high, and he took everything that was against us, and he took it captive. He took death captive. He took sin captive. He took justice. He took law. He took righteousness. He took all these things that was against us, and he led them captive and took them up to glory. Huh? But now he ascended. He had to first come down here and descend and do what he did. He can't give us gifts unless he accomplishes by his death everything that was against us. And so, oh my, so that's how come he gives us gifts. And he that descended, that came down here to the Lord, and that, listen, down here to earth is Christ came all the way down here. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far. He's way above everything in heaven. And everything that's above. And he did it that he might fulfill all things. Might fulfill all things. So that's how he gave us gifts. He bought the gifts for us. He paid for the gifts for us. Now let me just quickly say some things about these. Here's some of the gifts he gave to the church. He gave some apostles. There's no apostles since the apostles are gone. And he gave some prophets. He gave some of them the ability to be a prophet. And a prophet, same thing as a preacher. And some evangelists, people that travel around preaching. And some pastors. And some teachers. Not everybody can be a pastor. They're not called to it. And a pastor and a teacher are the one and the same. And the reason he gave these gifts is for the perfecting of the saints. So you can... That you can grow up, that for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the establishing, the building up of the body of Christ. And he done all this till we all come, till we all believe, till we all rejoice in, till we all come, till we actually all believe exactly the same thing. And this is in the knowledge of the Son of God. We come to where we all understand and believe the Son of God. And then we grow up and he teaches us and we grow up and we become a full-grown man. That's what he's talking about. And unto the measure of the stature or the age of the fullness of Christ. And this reason being that we're no more children. No more children tossed to and fro. Had my great-grandchildren this weekend and my great-granddaughter was coming over. It's dropping her off and had the boys. And the first thing Dylan Bentley said was, I don't like Riley anymore. Said, last time I was with her, she slapped me. So as a child, tossed to and fro, Riley walked in the house. Oh, sissy. And that was all forgot just that quick. And as you know, you've seen kids do that when they're little. I don't like him anymore. I don't like that one. He said, now, we're not going to be that way. Not the people in the gospel. We're not going to be that way. No, we're not going to be that way. We're not going to be carried around. Men ain't going to use the sleight of men. They're not going to deceive us. And they lie in craftiness. And they lie in wait to deceive us. And oh, listen. He said, I want you to grow up so you won't be deceived, that you won't be led astray, that you won't be a child. You're growing up into a perfect man. Grow up into the knowledge of Christ. Huh? And oh my. And then he said that he might fulfill all things. That's what he said. That he, verse 10, that he might fulfill all things. And those were the things that he fulfilled for you and me, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we speak the truth. I hope I speak it in love. I hope that we have some understanding of the knowledge of Christ. And I hope that we'll, as we grow up, that we'll continue to grow up in Christ. But we speak and maintain and hold and live the truth because we love our Master. We love our Master. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whenever a man was a slave and the master was going to let him go, had him in bondage or some way, owed him some money and he kept him, and the master said, well, you can go out now, you're free. He said, I don't want to go out. I love you. They took him to the doorpost and they took an awl and they drilled a hole in his ear. And that told him that he loved his master. Oh my. And that's why our Lord Jesus says, lovest thou me? And then we love his message. We love the message of grace, free grace, discriminating grace, effectual redemption. We love the message of the perseverance of the saints. And oh, we love our Lord's manner of dealing with us. Have you wanted anything since you've trusted Christ? Have you wanted anything? Huh? Have you wanted anything? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Huh? And we love not only that, but we love His people. We know we've passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. And we love His Word. His commandments are not grievous. We love His Word. There's nothing like His Word. And I hope, and by God's grace, never, ever speak the truth in hatefulness or pride. Pride of race. Pride of face because of who I am or where I come from, or pride of grace because I've got something somebody else don't. Hope and never speak it in malice or envy, greed or covetousness. And he says to speak the truth in love, maintaining the truth in love, holding the truth in love, living the truth in love. And we'll grow up. We'll start growing up. Growing up. Unto Him in all things. You ever told anybody, you know, even that somebody that's 30 years old said, boy, you ever going to grow up? You ever going to grow up? Well, that's what he said. Let's all grow up. Grow up where? In Christ. grow up in a knowledge of Christ. Grow up until we're in the fullness, the whole congregation, the fullness. Measure Christ and we all grow up into that fullness of Christ. Mature believers. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful to grow up into Him? Huh? Lord Jesus, we bow our hearts here before You again. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace given us in Christ. And oh Lord, You gave a full measure. You measure out to us every day the grace we need, the grace sufficient, the grace that upholds us, the grace that enabled us to persevere, the grace that enabled us to believe. Thank You for that grace and that gift that You give us. Thank You that You're the measure of it. It's not us that measures grace. You measure it. And so, Lord, You give us grace as we need it. You always have, and we believe You always will. God bless these dear saints and cause the gospel to find heart, lodging in the hearts and minds and understanding. We ask these things in Christ Lord, our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. There is a name I love to hear, to sing its praise. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Because He first loved me.
Amen. Amen. See you tonight, 6 o'clock, God willing.